Newstalk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. So, listen, I'm calling this whole section of the Triple Dipper the Row Woes. It's amazing what is happening right now. Amazing, but not to be unexpected, I guess. Amazing because it's just wrong. Now, when Obergefell, which was a decision that legalized same-sex marriage, when that happened, I do not recall. I mean, I recall there being, you know, angst and gnashing of teeth. I do not recall Christian conservatives rioting and marching on the houses of Supreme Court justices. Do you? I don't recall that. I guess we could look it up again and make sure. But I do not recall any calls for violence against Supreme Court justices. I remember being greatly disappointed in John Roberts. I remember being greatly disappointed in the outcome. I remember being greatly disappointed that we also didn't see Obamacare struck down and how that went, and it was Chief Justice John Roberts again. I mean, I could talk about him all day long, but that's about as far as it goes, right? Because I recognize that in the end, we have three co-equal branches of government, allegedly, and they are called upon to do what they do. And when a Supreme Court justice is confirmed to the Supreme Court for life or good cause, they are there, and they're going to do the job that they were appointed to do. And I don't have to always like it. That is the process. Law and order does not mean that everybody's happy. In fact, I remember going to a mediation as an attorney, and the mediator, who was a retired judge, he said, well, let me just go ahead and tell everybody while we're here, before we get started, no one's going to leave happy today. And I thought that was an interesting way to start off an opportunity to resolve differences. He said, because mediation is that place where we come together and each side has to give something in order to bring us to a resolution we can live with. And that's what the goal is. Today, we're going to look and see how far we can get so that we know whether we can live with a result. All right. Now, the situation we've got right now with Supreme Court. Story I first pulled off here on Fox. This one came from Fox. Yeah. Looking for the leaker. What was the ideological motivation for providing the Roe v. Wade reversal draft? That's the title. Quite a title, Howard Kurtz. But Fox News wrote this story, Dateline Today. And he says, this is the biggest media mystery since back when Bob Woodward was meeting with Deep Throat in a deeply lit, dimly lit parking garage. That was Watergate. So who is a Supreme Court leaker? And he points out, everyone's got a theory, and nobody knows who handed Politico's Josh Gerstein the draft opinion. All right, so... yeah, no one knows, but there's an uproar, and there are theories. And so he gives two theories, you know, which are kind of to be expected. Well, the first one is, at the very least. He says, number one, he tends to believe, and I agree, that the source is likely going to wind up being the clerk for a liberal justice, someone who was mad because it wasn't going the way they believed it should, and they wanted to get out there. And they wanted to throw some fuel on the fire, and they wanted to see the crowds come out. And they were hoping that by the time this thing got to be official, one of the justices would have been threatened enough to where they would change their vote. Okay, that's one theory. The other theory he points out, though, which is interesting, but I don't tend to buy it. The countervailing theory, he says, is that a law clerk to a conservative justice did it, and did it in order to lock in the votes that were in the draft. In other words, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Clarence Thomas are believed to be the ones who have signed on. And this leak would then freeze them into their position because the whole world would know that they had changed their vote if it indeed were changed in the end. I don't think any of those are going to change their votes. I think Alito, who wrote it, is not likely to change his vote. I think Neil Gorsuch is not likely to change. I think Brett Kavanaugh, who's been under pressure before, like nobody's business, it's probably not going to change. Amy Coney Barrett, she's not going to change. And Clarence Thomas, he's a rock. So the reality is, I don't think anybody's going to change. I don't buy that one. I don't think that's the way it went. But the justices, here's the point. The Supreme Court leak did more damage to the court itself than it did to the court of public opinion. The leak has done damage to the ability of these justices to be able to trade their notes, to work on consensus, to exchange views freely, and to operate in a manner that the court is supposed to operate, because now, how do they know if they can trust each other? I can remember being in Montgomery, literally as a state senator, being in Montgomery in a Republican caucus meeting, and we were having an executive session, and I swear we had to take away phones when that happens. but we were having an executive session of the Republican caucus for the state Senate. And before we got out of the room, somebody in the press was already reporting what we had said inside the room because some member of our caucus was texting it to him. Listen, that creates distrust. I remember saying in the room at one point, how do we know we can even talk about this right now if you guys are going to start texting it out to the press? Well, the reality is the Supreme Court has no reason not to feel that way now, too. Now, Howie Kurtz from Fox goes on in the concluding portions of his article here. He says, in almost like a caveat, he says, by the way, any news organization would do what Politico did and publish the Alito draft once confirming it was authentic. It was news, period, he says. That's a quote. I differ with that to one degree. I think news sites have a responsibility. They have to sometimes choose the news versus the right. Just because you can doesn't always mean you should. There have been times when I've been talking to somebody and I knew that I could come on the air the next day and talk about what we talked about, but I also knew that I'd be violating a trust or losing a relationship, and it's not always worth it. Sometimes the news is not necessarily needed. And for that matter, here's the other piece of this. How do we know that Politico didn't create some form of subterfuge in order to get it? How do we know they didn't know that the document was going to be stolen and they paid for it? We don't know. I don't know. That's pure speculation on my part. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, it's not news if they broke the law to get to it to be able to report it. It's still a crime at that point. If they were complicit in the theft of property, then they're still wrong. Well, here in Alabama, what's it mean for us? Well, the Roe woes, first of all, understand this. We take this stuff serious in Alabama. You know, when I say that, I'm not belittling other states. What I'm saying is that there are roughly 12 to 13 states who have in place right now what are being referred to as trigger laws. Laws that are on the books, they're just waiting for Roe to be overturned, which will immediately trigger a change in policy because the laws have already been passed. We're not going to have to make up lost ground. We're not going to have to come in after the fact. We already did the business. I helped with some of it. And the reality is, upon the passage of, or excuse me, the entering of the official opinion to reverse Roe, bam, it pulls the trigger on the law already on books in the state of Alabama. And we take it serious enough to where awards are still being given. We at the Alabama Policy Institute, where I've been for the last several years, at the Alabama Policy Institute, we gave an award to a guy named Eric Johnston. We call it the Policy Warrior Award to Eric Johnston for writing the law, which became was put on the books in 2019, the year after I left the Senate. Eric Johnston wrote that thing, and it was considered one of the strongest, as strong as the Texas law that everybody talks about. Of course, it was immediately enjoined. The ACLU and all the usual suspects took it to court. That being said, it doesn't matter. It's been enjoined. But if Roe is reversed, I believe that thing is going to wind up just jumping right into place. But A.G. Marshall, according to a story here on 1819, next story in the line here, A.G. Marshall just received an endorsement from an Alabama pro-life organization. You see, it means enough to where within the state of Alabama, when you're running for office, is to have the endorsement from people like the Alabama Citizens for Life. So story on 1819 News, Craig Monger wrote it, Dateline today. A.G. Steve Marshall receives the endorsement from the Alabama Citizens for Life. He is running for re-election, of course, primary on May 24th. He has been a ceaseless advocate for pro-life. I will say that. We also gave him an award, by the way. The year after Eric Johnston, we gave one to Steve Marshall. And we literally gave it to him because, in part, he went to the Supreme Court of the United States fighting for a bill that I helped pass called the Dismemberment Abortion Bill, which is actually pretty cool when you get down to it. When you watch your state attorney general going to the Supreme Court of the United States to fight over a bill that I was a Senate sponsor for, that's very cool. It's one of those kind of surreal moments where you realize going to Montgomery can actually mean something. You can do something. You can do something that impacts people. All that to say, Steve Marshall, endorsed by the Alabama Citizens for Life. Now, also here in Alabama, though, The chief sponsor of that major piece of legislation that was passed in 2019, the one we gave Eric Johnston an award for, is a friend of mine, Representative Terry Collins. I just saw a story that came out on AL.com yesterday afternoon. It says the author of the Alabama abortion ban says the state might need to add exceptions as it grapples with a possible Roe ruling. What? I don't get that at all. I've talked to Terry about this before. She was proud of that bill. She's as pro-life as they come. I know that. But for some reason, in this article, which, you know, AL.com is going to always go for the liberal side of things. AL.com has the most skewed level of stories I've ever seen. I go to it so I can know sometimes. It's like watching CNN. Sometimes you have to know what the other side is saying. I go to 1819 when I want clear, solid reporting, or I want a conservative editorial. I go to AL.com when I want to see what the other side's saying. Anyway, AL.com says, storyline Dateline yesterday, that Collins did introduce the bill in 2019 to ban abortions. It was meant to challenge Roe v. Wade. I mean, we literally said we wrote this bill, we passed this bill to pick a fight. That was the purpose. We knew it was going to pick a fight. But she told AL.com yesterday that she would support new state legislation that carves out some exceptions to allow for abortions in the case of rape, incest, or unhealthy fetus. All right. The rape and incest and unhealthy fetus is, and let me just say, I am not unsympathetic. I do not want to portray for a second that I am insensitive to the pain that has been wrought upon someone's life when those things happen. All right. I think we also, though, have to consider that the life of the child has to mean something. If you believe that life begins at the moment of conception, then you have to consider the alternative to abortion because it's a life. I believe that. And I don't want to hear anybody say, you're a man, you're not allowed to have an opinion. Well, yes, I am, especially for all you out there who think that a woman can be a man and a man can be a woman and that men can get pregnant. What's your argument look like now? Anyway, all that, moving forward here, Terry Collins does say that the law currently doesn't have any exceptions, period. That's why it's one of the strictest in the nation. So she's looking at exceptions. The rape and incest are the two that are most definable. When you start saying the unhealthy fetus, I think you better be very careful because people tend to go far afield on that one. Well, your child appears to have Down syndrome. That's an unhealthy fetus. No, it's not. That's a viable child who may have, you know, challenges in life. But I know some folks that have just the most wonderful relationship with their adult, mentally challenged child who has Downs. Sweet spirit. Anyway, Robin Marty, who's the director of communications at the West Alabama Women's Center, which is an abortion clinic, says in the aftermath of any overturn of Roe, the Alabama abortion clinics may have to immediately stop providing abortions. Yes, that is the point. Thank you, Robin. We're glad you're on the money. But here in Alabama, pretty much we're already seeing this shutting down. There are very few abortion clinics even left in the state of Alabama. Most of them know it's not worth the investment. They can see the handwriting on the wall. And so, yeah, the nearest state in the southeast, according to this article from Mail.com, where women might be able to seek an abortion if Roe is overturned, would likely be Florida. A guy named Alan Parker, who is the president of the Justice Foundation, a pro-life group that helped with the Supreme Court case that's being dealt with right now, part of the leaking case. He said if Roe v. Wade is overturned, then Alabama's safe haven laws. So we did. We passed some laws called safe haven laws. It's not abandonment if you cannot keep the child and you don't know what else to do for you to bring that child to a police station or a local hospital or a fire station, and there will be no penalties for doing that. It's called a safe harbor law. All right, Copper, I just realized what time it was. My goodness, you gotta jump on me like this when I'm run over. Go ahead and move it to a break.
You're on a roll.
I know. Just stop me. Somebody stop me. All right, anyway, we are on a roll, but great topic. More to come. Top of the hour, guy named Chris Carter running for Limestone County Sheriff. He'll be on with us too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So it is time now, 2:55 p.m. I ran a little long on that last segment because, Copper, you just let me talk too much.
Well, you're talking about pro-life issues. I just got into it.
That's true. You did. That is a passion for you. I know. Hey, by the way, you had a comment during the, what was that you were saying during
the break?
That's
right. Well, Planned Parenthood has announced that they are not currently offering abortion services in Alabama or Georgia because they can't find any abortionists to offer the service, if you're going to call it that. So that's great. That means only three abortion clinics are currently performing abortions in Alabama, here in Huntsville, one in Tuscaloosa, and one in Montgomery.
Wow. Wow, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. You know, and what that is basically is, like I said earlier, they can see the handwriting on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't want to move here, set up shop, and invest in what it takes to do that as a business, which you hate to say it's a business, but it's, there's a business decision attached to it, apparently, and they're choosing not to. So, yay.
And
I'm fine
also,
with that.
I'm also proud of Alabamians that, you know, we don't want to provide those services. We don't want to kill babies. These doctors are just saying, no, I don't want to touch that.
No kidding. No kidding. Well, right now, in terms of the Roe woes, as I finish up this segment, I got to tell you, so right now, story off of Fox again. This one talks about the fact that dated today that massive fences are being erected around the Supreme Court building, and the justices who were scheduled to attend public events are canceling their attendance. So, yeah, storyline dated today, like I said, on Fox. Workers erected a large fence around the U.S. Supreme Court building late Wednesday night, 2 days after the leaked opinion. The same night, Justice Samuel Alito, the author of the draft, had to cancel a public appearance. He didn't give a reason, but everybody can imagine why. Alito scrapped his plans to participate in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals Judicial Conference, which is slated to begin Thursday, today. He canceled his appearance for reasons not disclosed. His colleagues, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Clarence Thomas, were also slated to give remarks at a similar conference in the 11th Circuit. And according to a program Reuters acquired, it remains unclear if they will still appear. You've got also, too, here's something else that's kind of interesting. The very idea that you've got the President of the United States. So, separate story also on Fox dated yesterday. I mean, I've got one from The Federalist, and I've got another from 1819 that I haven't even touched yet. But story here talks about the fact that Biden is a devout Catholic. He's making some very weird remarks. Just yesterday, he said that he believes that he is a child of God, that he has a right to his opinions, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I'm just a child. Here, I'll quote it for you. I believe the rights that I have, not because the government gave them to me, which you believe, but because I'm just a child of God. I exist. And then the rest of it is like word salad. I can't figure out what it's talking about. It even says in here it's unintelligible. Hey, Copper, tell our caller we don't have time. We're going to have a scheduled caller here in just a few minutes. He may want to call back afterwards. All I'm saying is this. To have a president of the United States try to weigh in as part of the executive branch on the rulings that are still pending from the Supreme Court, another branch, this is somewhat unprecedented. It's not good form. It's considered to be outside of the bounds, and yet he's doing it anyway. And yet he's also rationalizing his own faith and trying to rationalize away. I'm going to say this, Mr. President, you are welcome to believe what you want to believe. You are not welcome to rewrite the Christian faith. There. How's that? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, Chris Carter running for Limestone County Sheriff. We'll be right back.